A very good morning to you. Mary Fagan, here with you this morning on Horizons. On the programme, the Poor Clares have an open day in Carlow coming up next Saturday. Storytelling is big for the Presentation Secondary School in Tralee. And there are changes in the diocese nationally. First up, thank you, Bishop Ray, for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Mary, and good morning to all tuned in this morning to Horizons. Thank God for fine weather.
We can say that we've had a bit of summer already, Bishop Ray.
Last weekend was a big weekend in the GAA and both Kerry teams won. But it was lovely to see that it was in glorious sunshine all over the country. And, you know, please God, the weather will be pro-farming from now on, that they'll have the right mixture for crops to grow, for grass to grow, to replenish the barns, which are quite empty after a long winter. The field's been just so wet. Thank God for sunshine. Thank God for good weather.
A lot of rain. But with the beautiful fine weather, I suppose we have to think of young people and exams.
Yeah, I think it's a long term after Easter this year because Easter is so early. But leaving certain junior certs are coming, and always you sense they're coming when the fine weather comes. Every blessing on all doing junior cert, all doing leaving cert. You know that all feel the pressure. It is pressure. The one thing you'd hope for would be that they'd encourage one another. Isn't that vital, that together they get through it when the pressure comes on? Different people feel at different stages, react in different ways, just to support and encourage one another and to be confident, given last year's Leaving Certs, where are they now? They've moved on, they found their niche, and it can be the same for this year's. All will be well. Every blessing on them, and every blessing on their homes, their families supporting them, and every blessing on the whole school. Huge occasion for them, the annual state exams.
You've had or are having a very busy time. You're moving through the confirmation. We're facing May and you'll just have a few in the Bear region and Ballyferter. How has it been going?
Yes, I say alongside Leaving Cert and Junior Cert, the younger level, there's confirmations and First Communions. Confirmations is something beautiful. You know, I think it occurs at a lovely time in the boys' and girls' lives. It's just at the end of childhood, in the sense that they're moving towards teenage years, they're moving into young adulthood. Almost immediately, they get more and more freedom. Almost immediately, too, they have more and more responsibility. So it's a lovely stage. You can see a lovely sense of friendship and a lovely sense of togetherness among the boys and girls of the class. Just to pay tribute to parents, you know, their dedication, their commitment, you know, the sacrifices they make. If anything is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Surely it's parenting, wanting the best for their children, seeking to give their best to them. The flip side of that is worried lest anything go wrong. And I think it's lovely to pay tribute to them also in the context that it's a lovely stage in the boys' and girls' lives, and they can see that things have turned out quite well.
First Communion, the month of May and just before it now, beautiful time of the year. We've just had Communions, two rounds of it in Listowel yesterday.
Yes, well, there's something magical about First Communion, something beautiful about the boys and the girls. They're still at that lovely age of innocence, lovely age of spontaneous happiness and joy. It's a major step, and it's a major step in handing on the faith. Communion nourishes our hearts and souls. First Communion proclaims that each and every girl and boy, each is known and loved by God. They matter to God. God wants to help them. God wants to journey with them. Those words, take and eat, this is my body given up for you. Mass is central to our faith. Now Jesus said, do this in memory of me. And there is that challenge of coming to weekend Mass. So many families are rarely there. And just say to them, could you come every second week? How often will you come in the next 6 months? How often over the summer? The Eucharist is there. We want to give the children a sense of God and a sense of God's love and God's presence. And on Sunday, having time for God, having time to gather with your own people, it's vital.
On the subject of parishes, pastoral areas, the diocese moving forward, we've had a great response across the diocese to the consultation meetings. The 53 parishes held meetings. themselves. Change, of course, is inevitable, Bishop Ray.
Well, as the world changes, we adapt. Look at how much the world is changing in terms of our ordinary lives with climate change and the modern systems of buildings, of our homes, to keep them warm, to not lose energy, not lose heat, moving away from chimneys, moving towards air to water.
Mm-hmm.
Everything changes and everything evolves. The church is evolving and we have the same aims. Thank you to all who play their part in their parish. You know, just to appreciate all that's good in our parishes. Different parishes are different, but there's always some people who are key volunteers, you know, whose heart is in it and who are making things happen in their parish. Alongside that, you know, we had an ordination last year, Father Mark. We have one this year, Father Sean, who's from Glencar. And we have a first-year student, Patrick. So we appreciate that. Also, we've been lucky receiving Father Amos and Vitalis, who have come to help us from Kitale in Kenya. And there's also good hope that we might get three more from Kenya, from the neighbouring diocese, Eldoret, in the next few months. There's a lot to be grateful for, a lot to say thanks for. But there's a challenge there too, and we need greater involvement by laity. We need greater involvement of the deacons. And the phrase I put in the document, Moving Forward in Hope, our hope is that parishioners and deacons will take a structured leadership role in their pastoral areas, working with the priests of the pastoral area, including our priests from abroad. So that's the challenge. We're gradually evolving. Think of the last 10 years, our pastoral areas have come more centre stage because we now have 15 parishes that are served by the priests of the pastoral area. There was just one 10 years ago. So that's been a gradual evolving. And we've coped quite well. And the challenge is ongoing.
That structured leadership involvement, it's difficult to pin that down, Bishop Ray, but to be structured, it does need to be pinned down.
Yeah, and I think you have to have a picture of a parish to know what are the needs, what are the elements of community life in a parish. We will need to focus on what picture we have of a parish, and just to focus on the picture that's there in our pastoral letter that issued just over a month ago. Think of your local church community in four ways: a social friendship community, a caring, compassionate community, a praying, worshipping and sacramental community, and a community whose mission is to nourish and develop its faith and hand it on to the next generation. And then we can look at each of those four elements and see how can we organise it better. What has changed? How can we organise it better? Just taking that social friendship community. Are we together as Christians? You know, do we journey through life together? Are we anxious nobody will be lonely? Do we enjoy each other's company? I love that phrase. People say we have a good community here. A good community means that we know each other, we're in contact with each other, we have a lot of things we do together. And at the level of faith, that's maybe the first fundamental thing, and that's changed. In some areas, the rural areas where there's no shop, where the pub is a lot less significant than it was, where do people meet? How are we coming together? You know, and out of that comes the second thing, and that's a very important thing too, a caring, compassionate community. In the Acts of the Apostles, which we're reading these Sundays, see these Christians, how they love one another, how they're together, how they support one another, how they share their lives. They're a community.
During the week, there was a lovely survey done on community, and young people scored well on it, that they were helpful to their neighbours, that they minded their pets when they were gone, that they took in their post, did jobs around the place. I thought that was brilliant.
It's lovely to see it, you know, just to honour it and to encourage it at a parish level, that it's the way Jesus asked us to be, it's to take care of one another, to love one another, to look after those in need, to support one another. But that overall picture of what is a parish and what are the needs of our parish. And in some situations, it's not just parish. It's, you know, there's three churches in a parish, there's three distinct community areas. In each of those areas, are we working at being the Christian community we ought to be? That's the social end, that's the caring end, visiting the elderly, making sure that those who live alone have visitors, where there's sickness, where there's health issues, where there's needs, supporting, being there. Alongside that then, is the actual faith element. Are we a praying, worshipping and sacramental community? Do we gather for Mass? Is it important for us? Do we meet at Mass? that we pray together in recent times. Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament has been a great resource in all parishes, people doing their holy hour. Is that in our parish? Are we looking after it? Are we keeping it strong? And even the simple visits to church to light a candle. Lovely to go into church to light a candle and see other candles lit before you, and just to sense that other people have come here to pray, other people have brought their needs, to make an act of trust in God for whatever concern or worry they have, you know. That's vital to a parish. How do we promote that, and how do we ensure that it continues to happen? You know, and the final thing is, a parish community is always concerned to keep our faith fresh, keep our faith strong. You know, every community needs many active members. Have we sufficient active members that we genuinely are a community, drawing others in and linked to others?
Do you feel optimistic, Bishop Ray, though?
Yes, going back to where you started there, like the numbers who attended those meetings, there was 2,000 in all. The way that the people themselves organised the meetings, the people themselves chaired the meetings, that gives great hope. If all those people play their part, then we can have the fullness of parish life throughout our 53 parishes and 12 pastoral areas, 12 strong groups. That's very important too, because with fewer priests, our priests work at pastoral area level as much as at parish level. If you have 5 parishes and 3 priests, then you can see how the pastoral area is important.
It will take teamwork and cooperation.
It takes teamwork and cooperation at all levels, you know. Everything we organise, everything we do, takes a bit of organisation and administration. You know, we've been blessed with our secretaries, and the role of secretary in each parish has come good, got stronger and stronger over the past 10 years. That's an example of change and evolving. Parish is the unit where Christ is present. The church symbolises the presence of Christ, community of people, and Christ present in their midst. Christ present through baptism and confirmation, Christ present through the Eucharist.
So we need to keep active, keep interested, and stay involved.
You know, the word is moving forward in hope, and the journey continues.
Bishop Ray Brown, thank you very much for chatting to us this morning on Horizons.
Mary, it's lovely to be on Horizons, and every blessing on our young people doing Leaving Cert and Junior Cert, and every blessing too on the families and the children who have received sacrament of confirmation and who will shortly be receiving their first Holy Communion. May it be a sign of faith, hope and love in all our communities and in all our homes.
Thanks again, Bishop Ray. And if you want to have another look at the pastoral letter that Bishop Ray is referring to, it's on our website, on our homepage, under Diocesan News. Some music now. Foom Lee, The Heavens Proclaim.
The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The sky shows forth the work of his hands. Day unto day takes up the story
Christina Scanlon, well done on Youth TV last Friday night. Now, looking at your primary area of work, primary schools. People talk about the curriculum and fitting religious education mm-hmm. into the primary school curriculum, and that it keeps getting narrower and the opportunities for doing things becomes less. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that, Christina?
Yeah, I know with the new curriculum that's going to be rolled out from 2025 that I think they're saying religious education or, you know, holistic development or moral, spiritual development may be reduced by half an hour in a week. But, you know, I just think it has a place and it is featuring in our new curriculum going forward, which is very positive for me in this job. I think we do need to, you know, teach our kids to be moral people and the difference between right and wrong. And that is really what the Growing Love programme is all about. And, you know, there's a huge value in that, and I'm hoping it's not going to go anywhere for a very long time.
And you're happy that there is still space there for religious education?
I am, and I think, you know, especially within the sacraments of First Holy Communion and Confirmation, I think they are very important sacraments to families still today. So I don't see it going anywhere for a long time, please God. And I just think there's a huge importance in it, and I think our kids, you know, learn a lot. And, you know, even as a teacher, okay, you'd have your set time for teaching religion, growing love, but you know, it can seep in through your teaching throughout the day. Two kids could come in after playtime fighting and you can revert back to the story we just learned in growing love, or, you know, what does Jesus ask us to do? You know, we have to say sorry, forgive, you know, and they can be hard things to do. But I suppose at a primary school level, I did find that it permeated through my day. It wasn't just the half hour of religious instruction a day. You know, you have your morning prayer, your evening prayer. I think it's really important that we don't lose that.
Do you feel that the primary school teacher and the style of teaching depends a lot on the personality of the teacher and their beliefs?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. But I think that is one of the nice things about the Grow and Love programme, especially at primary school level. You know, whatever your beliefs are, it is really just, you can read a story to a child, you can sing a song, and they're really lively, catchy songs. The website is fantastic. There's videos for each thing. So even if you weren't a big faith believer yourself, I think it's really easy to still deliver the programme in a decent way, you know. And we just appreciate anyone trying their best. You know, we're very appreciative of that in the diocese.
Thank you, Christina Scanlon. After the break, we look at the storytelling project in the Presentation Secondary School in Tralee.